Jesus House, in pursuit of God, discovering purpose, maximizing potential, impacting lives. This message is being brought to you from Jesus House, London. God bless you.
Father and our God, tonight we come before you and we thank you. We come before you, O Lord, and we ask in your kindness and in your grace that you teach the Bible, that you open up the word to us through your Holy Spirit. Grant us wisdom, grant us revelation, and grant us understanding, my Father, that we may be changed to be just like you. We glorify you and we thank you. We celebrate all that you are and all that you can and will do. Father Almighty God, we join our faith with each person believing you for a miracle, and there might be many. We ask, O Lord, that you intervene on their behalf as only you can. We commit them into your hands, and we thank you. Father Almighty God, glorify your name in their lives. We ask this in Jesus' most holy name. Amen and amen. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we begin tonight, it's great to see you. So last week we stopped off on the subject of laughter, laughter and singing. And so I will read our base verse, and our base verse is Psalm 126. And so that's Psalm 126, and I'm going to read in the King James Version of the Bible, and then we'll go from there. Okay, and so the Bible says the following. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we begin tonight, I'm just going to read the same verses. It's a nice short psalm. I'm going to read it in two or three other versions. I'll start with the Amplified Classic. So let me go to the Amplified Classic psalm, and that's what Psalm 126, exactly the same as we read. But this time I'm going to read it in the Amplified Classic version. The Bible says, when the Lord brought back the captives who returned to Zion, we were like those who dream. It seems so unreal. Then were our mouths filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. Then they said among the nation, the Lord has done great things for them. Verse 3, the Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Turn to freedom our captivity and restore our fortunes, O Lord, as the streams in the south, the Negev, are restored by the torrents. They who sow in tears shall reap in joy and singing. He who goes forth bearing seed and weeping and needing his precious supply of grain for sowing shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So that's the Amplified Classic. It's very similar, but it gives us a clear picture. And so I'm going to read it in the Bible in basic English, and then we'll pick it up from there. The Bible in basic English. When the Lord made a change in Zion's fate, we were like men in a dream. Then our mouths were full of laughing, and our tongues gave a glad cry. They said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, because of which we are glad. Let our fate be changed, O Lord, like the streams in the south. Those who put in seed with weeping will get in the grain with cries of joy. Though a man may go out weeping, taking his vessel of seed with him, he will come again in joy with the corded stems of grain in his arms. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we realize this is God's word over our lives this year. And I'm going to start tonight, and we're going to be speaking about one person tonight, and that's the central person of this psalm. But I want you to have a look at verses 5 and 6. The Bible says the following: those who put in seed with weeping will get in the grain with cries of joy. Though a man may go out weeping, taking his vessel of seed with him, he will come again in joy with the corded stems of grain in his arms. So what we realize, ladies and gentlemen, there is an action at the end of the psalm. And the reason I wanted to start there is this. If anyone, and when I say if anyone, I'm actually quite certain. And so I'll speak like this first. The Bible said, what many times we focus on the action, and if there's anybody going through a difficult time, or you are sowing, or you're working hard, and it seems like things are not working, and there are these amazing prophecies over your life, but it looks like it's not working. I want you to understand something. The actions in themselves are not empty. They are based upon a person. So when the Bible says those who put in seed with weeping will get the grain with cries of joy, though a man may go out weeping, taking his vessel of seed with him, he will come again in with joy with the corded stems of grain in his arms. The reason we can do that is because of the Lord God. The reason you can keep going, the reason you can fight through the fog, go to work, keep going, look after the baby, you know, look after yourself, keep believing God. The reason you can do so is because of the person that put the process in place. And so what I want to assure you, ladies and gentlemen, especially if you're going through a difficult time, if you're going through a difficult time and it feels like, well, there's no end, or it's a maybe, or it may not work, pause for a moment. The reason that action is at the end of Psalms 126, notice that action is actually based upon the person in verse 4. And the Bible says the following: let our fate be changed. That means let the outcome of my actions be different. Let things be changed. Let the way life is being presented to me change. And the Bible then says, O Lord, like the streams in the south. That means, God, based upon something you will do, cause something I do to be successful. And so what I want you to understand as you press in, as you keep going, as you reach in for God. And the Lord said to start here. I was going to start at the top, but he said start at the bottom. And I'm really humbled to do so. What I want you to understand, especially if you're working through a difficult time, I want you to understand the actions you are taking, the words you are speaking, the prayers you are praying are not empty. They're not in and of themselves. They are anchored on a person. And the more we understand that person, the more confident we become in our actions. Please turn with me in the Bible. We're going to come back to Psalm 126, but turn with me, and I'm going to go in the Amplified Bible. Turn with me, please, to the book of Genesis chapter 8. And I want, especially for those that are sowing and it's a difficult season. And when we say sowing, we're not only talking money, whether that be prayer, whether that, and ladies and gentlemen, prayer is critical. And we're going to talk about prayer a little later. Whether it be prayers you are praying, whether it be actions you are taking, businesses you are starting or running, taking care of children, whereby you're speaking life over certain things, I want you to please understand something. As you sow, as you take these actions, the success of those actions is not primarily based upon your circumstances. They are based upon the person that you trust that put the process in place that is causing you to do something. And so let me read to you where, when we talk about sowing and reaping, let's talk about that. The Bible says, and I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 8, and I'm going to read from verse 20. The Lord is restoring the earth. The Lord is, I'll go back further in a moment, but let's go to Genesis 8, verse 20, and I'm going to stop at verse 22. And the Bible says the following: And Noah built an altar to the Lord. And if you have the opportunity, or you can, or you're taking notes, write down the words, the Lord. That's who we're talking about today. And the Bible says, Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean four-footed animal and of every clean fowl or bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. When the Lord smelled the pleasing odor, a scent of satisfaction to his heart, the Lord said to himself, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the imagination, the strong desire of man's heart is evil, wicked from his youth. Neither will I ever again smite and destroy every living thing as I have done. Then the Lord says the following: While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. That means, ladies and gentlemen, what I want you to understand is the Lord is in absolute control of the process of sowing and reaping. So we realize when you look at Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6, the actions they are taking, and I'm going to give you a bit of context in a moment, the actions they are taking are not based upon themselves. They are based upon the actions of God, who says, when it comes to seed time must be followed by harvest. When it comes to cold, it must be followed by heat, and vice versa. Summer must follow winter, and vice versa. And day must follow night. But ladies and gentlemen, let me say this really carefully. The Lord just didn't put those couplets together for nothing. What you realize is in those eight things, he spoke fruitfulness back to a world that had been wiped completely clean. So all the seasons were all over the place. Everything was wiped out. Literally, everything was wiped clean. And he said, let me restart the process. And so as you, and I'm speaking specifically to those of you that are going through a difficult time, I want you to understand that the Lord is restarting the process. Your seed time will be followed by harvest. And many times we stop there. But please understand, the process of growing a harvest, and this is where you realize God is complete. The process of growing a harvest needs the following. You can't have a constant summer or a constant winter, otherwise your crops will die. So the Lord puts in place seasons. There will be seasons of cold when you sow and the things are safe in the ground and they can go through a germination process. And then there will be seasons of heat that draw the plants out of the ground, causing them to grow up so you can harvest them. summer and winter. There will be a season of activity and there will be a season of inactivity. Neither will be permanent concerning you, but they are necessary. Day and night, you realize the forces that drive nature during the day: pollination, insects, animals, growth, heat, light, and the processes that drive nature in the night, where things rest, where things grow, where night animals can move around, where the plants have a chance to germinate and stuff like that. What you realize is God said the complete process is under my control. And so, ladies and gentlemen, tonight as we begin, I want you to understand that Israelites were saying to the Lord, "Lord, change things. We have been sowing during the period that you were angry, and nothing was happening." So during the 70 years of exile, the Lord said the land has to rest. So those that were still there, they were sowing and getting limited harvests. They were working and they were getting limited results. It seemed like they couldn't make headway. But the Bible says when the Lord turned back to the captivity of Zion, when he turned his face back to Israel in favor, as we said last week, when the Lord turned back, things began to change. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know who it is, but if you're going through a difficult time, this is the word of the Lord over this year, that the Lord has turned back and now you have his attention and his blessing, and that which did not work before will start to work again. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to please keep in mind, this is God's intention, and nothing is going to change it. One more scripture, and then I'll move on. Come with me further back, ladies and gentlemen, to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and what I want to reassure you is that no matter your circumstances today, no matter what you are going through, the Lord God can be trusted. He's true to his principles, he's true to his statutes, his guidelines, his law, but most of all, he's true to himself. Genesis chapter 1, and I will read from 28. And then but my target verse is verse 29. And the Bible says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, using all its vast resources in the service of God and man. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves upon the earth." That's what the Lord says. Not tonight's sermon, but it does give us a backdrop. And let me say this loud to you, ladies and gentlemen, as you come into this season, please understand you are blessed. Not limited, not challenged, you are blessed. That means the Lord has, you have the attention of the Almighty God, and he wants to bless you. So that's what we wanted to say. But verse 29 is my focus. And the Bible says, "And God said, See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the land, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food." Pause. Ladies and gentlemen, that means no matter what your career is, no matter what you do for a living, if you're an actor, the job will come, the jobs will come, the opportunities will come. If you are a photographer, the opportunities to do your work. Someone's going to notice the artist's work. Somebody is going to give the seamstress work. Somebody is going to make cause what you do to prosper. And I want you to understand that somebody is the Lord God, your father. He said, "Feeding you is my responsibility." And I have put processes in place that when you work the process, you will be fed. And so, ladies and gentlemen, whatever, and this was in Psalm 126. Notice, and I'm going to pick up the narrative from verse 4, so we, and then we'll talk about the Lord in that sense. I'm picking up the narrative from verse 4, and the Bible says the following. The Bible says, let our fate be, I'm reading from the Bible in basic English. Let our fate be changed, O Lord, like the streams in the south. Then they say, the process of sowing and reaping, Lord, let it work. What were they talking about? They were talking about the end of a drought, the end of a famine, the end of a challenging season. And ladies and gentlemen, as you go through this year, the Lord is the one who ends droughts. He will provide. And what does he do? He causes the processes that were quiet to work in your favor. The Lord is ending a drought over your life. This is what, this is one of the things that it is time to try again. We'll come to that. But the Lord is ending a drought over your life. The circumstances are not in control. The Lord is in control. So, and this is what I want you to understand. The Bible says it is the Lord that will cause the processes to work the way they should work. And the reason we say so is this. Come with me to Isaiah 43. And we'll just have a look at verses. We're going to verse 19. We'll read verses 18 and 19 for context, but we're going to verse 19. Isaiah 43. And I'm going to read verses 18 and 19. The Bible says, do not earnestly remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, and pause for a moment. That means, ladies and gentlemen, when the Lord says, do not remember, it's like, no, don't let yesterday be your focus. Because if yesterday was the last day of the drought, the processes that were suspended are now in action. So your focus has to be one person. That's the Lord. And he said, do not remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Verse 19, he says, behold, I am doing a new thing. That means your actions are not going to be successful because you are amazing. Your actions are going to be successful because God has stepped into action. The Bible says, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it and know it? And will you not give heed to it? That means the seasons concerning you have changed. Then the Bible says the following. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, when you think about that, when God wants to end a drought so that you have enough, he invariably brings in abundance. When God wants to end a drought, when God wants to cause the processes to work the way he wants them to work, when God wants to cause the things that he said need to happen, when he's ending a drought, invariably, he produces abundance. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand, the Bible says, I will make a way in the wilderness and I will cause rivers to flow in the desert. you do realize for God to make a way in the wilderness, especially if he's using water, that means there has to be enough water to carve a path through a desert, through rock, through sand, and to leave enough for there to be running water for everybody to drink. So ladies and gentlemen, please, and I'm just going to say this in simple faith. The Lord has turned your seasons, and he is coming with a flood. Why? The drought concerning you is over. And that's what they were. And so they walked back, they got back from Persia, they found themselves in a half-built city. They began to, you know, began to eke out a living. And so they only had what they brought or what they could carry or what they could pick up. And so the risk they had to take to sow it was horrendous. Because if this did not work, there was nowhere else to go. They had just come back. They were back. They had come back from exile. They only had what they brought back with them. So for them to step from a place of poverty into a place of abundance, it was a risk. And so let me say this to somebody specifically. The actions you take now may seem like a risk, but they are not based upon circumstances. They are based upon a person who says, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I am your provider. I am in control of the circumstances. I am the one that will do the heavy lifting. I am the one that's going to make all the difference. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand, and I'm going to just give you one or two examples so you know that it is not about your circumstances. It is about the God you serve. And then we'll look at different elements of that, because this psalm is, the focus of this psalm is not the results. The focus of this psalm is God. It starts with the Lord. Everything is the Lord. The actions they are taking is because the Lord has done something, and he is faithful, and he can be trusted. But let me, just so you understand that in difficult circumstances, God is God. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. They're quite popular, and then we'll go on, because I want you to understand the Lord is your provider. That means he is the one that is going to make the difference. Your actions are going to be based upon the faithfulness of your God, not upon the state of your circumstances. So when the Israelites came back to Jerusalem, can you imagine? They had to, it was a total act of faith to go to fields that hadn't been touched in 70 years, dig them up, and put precious seed into ground that had been literally stopped working for the last 70 years. And they had one shot. Just one shot to make it right. I'm speaking to someone. You may feel like you've only got one shot to get this right. Please hear me well. Your actions will be based upon the faithfulness and ability of your God, not based on the state of your circumstances, and definitely not based upon what yesterday was saying. So come with me, ladies and gentlemen. We'll look at two things and then we'll move on. Please turn in your Bibles And I'm going to read Genesis chapter 26. And I'm going to read Genesis 26, and I'm going to pick up the narrative from verse 1. And I'm going to read in the King James Version of the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. And the Bible says the following. Genesis 26, and I'm going to read from verse 1. I will stop. I'm going to read from verse 1. I'll stop at verse 5 first. And the Bible says, and there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So, ladies and gentlemen, we realize the Lord is telling Isaac, don't follow conventional wisdom. Stay in this land. And the different, now it's in the middle of a famine. He said, in the middle of a famine, stay in this land. Don't go to Egypt. Stay in the land that's in the middle of a famine. And notice two things. He said, I will do two things for you. Number one, I will be with you. Number two, I will bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, please remember those two phrases. God will be with him and God will bless him. Now, come with me to verse 12. Verse 12 says the following. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him, and the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great, for he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Please hear me well. Notice this is in a famine. But the two key things that you must remember in a famine or a change of seasons is this. God said, I will do two things. I will be with you. That means we are in this thing together. And then he said, I will bless you. Notice when God was with him, everything worked the way it was meant to work. And the Bible says, when he sowed in famine, a famine limited environment, he received a hundredfold because it is God that determines harvest. So God said, this seed that this boy is sowing, I want it to produce 100-fold. Everybody else was getting 5 or 10, but this kid, because God was with him, the Bible says everything worked the way God wanted it to work. And the Bible says in the middle of a famine, God made him wealthy. But then the Bible says something else. The Bible says, and God blessed him. Now that's very different. So God has made the principles or the processes work. So that means when Isaac has sowed, the Lord made the process of sowing and reaping work so that he had abundance. But then the Bible says God blessed him as a person. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to please understand. Notice when God brought Israel back, he said, not only am I going to be back, your back home, but I will be with you and I turned my face to you. And the Bible says when the Lord turns his face to you, that we found out in Numbers chapter 6, and I'll read it in a moment, the Bible says God will bless you. Now, God blessed the man. So there is something, this is not about resources. Resources do not make you wealthy. God makes you wealthy on the inside. And then the things on your outside multiply. Have you noticed, ladies and gentlemen, that if you give somebody who is poor on the inside or challenged on the inside, they will reduce the resources you give them to their level. It's like when you give a poor person a lot of money, they will reduce it to their level. All of a sudden, they will start spending on the things that they think they should spend on. The money will not multiply. Before long, they'll be poor again because they're poor where? On the inside. But God said, I will not just make the process his work so you can eat. I will bless you, meaning I will transfer a part of myself to you, and that will then change your words, your thoughts, and your actions so that your outside will begin to match your inside. Notice, ladies and gentlemen, that is what God has said about you. And the Bible says, and think about it, the Bible says, notice the Lord, let me go to the King James Version of Psalm 126. Let me read in the King James Version, and I've got two Bibles up, which is great. The Bible says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing, and they said among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. Verse 3. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Ladies and gentlemen, notice it is the Lord that said over your life this year that you will be like them that dream. That means God's not only going to change your circumstances, but he's going to change you. That means he's going to not only make the processes work, but he's going to bless you. And then because you are blessed, whatsoever you touch becomes blessed. Notice what God said to Abraham. And I'm going to go a little slower here because I want to go to one other verse. Please come with me to Genesis chapter 12. And I'm going to read from verses 1 to 3. Listen to what God said to Abraham. And the Bible says, now the Lord said unto Abraham, that was his name back then, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. Then he said something else. And thou shalt be a blessing, meaning I will not only bless you and make things work, but you yourself will become a blessing. That means those around you will be blessed. And listen to what the Bible says. God said, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Meaning when you are present, wherever you are, I will not only bless you, but you will become a blessing to others. So, ladies and gentlemen, what I want you to understand is this. As you go into this new season, as you go into this season, this is what the Lord said he would do for you. Not only is he going to take you into a new season, but he said that you will be like them that dream. That means he's not only going to make it work for you, but he's going to change you. So that what you do, you experience, you attract, you achieve, will cause you to walk as one that dreams. It's not that God's just going to plant you into a 10-room mansion. No, he's going to give you the capacity to generate that kind of wealth, ability, and success in such a way so that you will be like them that dream. And so let's talk about. So I want to go to one more verse, please, so that we know that the Lord is taking us out of a famine, and then we'll move on. Come with me, please, ladies and gentlemen, to the book of Jeremiah, and I'm going to read chapter 17, verses 7 to 8. And let's talk up. Notice what the Bible says, and then I'm going to move on to something else. The Bible says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. The Bible says the following: for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. What's the difference? The difference is the Lord is with such a person. And so, ladies and gentlemen, notice it's the Lord that makes them like a tree planted by water. It is the Lord that causes them not to be careful in the year of drought. When the Bible says be careful, that means you will not face lack or challenges, even when everybody else is going through a drought, because the Lord is with you and he will make the processes work, one, but then he will bless you as a person, two. So what did God give Israel? Not only did he take them back to Jerusalem, but he gave them the ability to rebuild that which had been destroyed. He gave them the ability to rework farms, rebuild families, rebuild the temple. He gave them, what did he do? He blessed them, and they began to create a whole new world. So will it be with you. So I want the focus, ladies and gentlemen, that I want you to hold on to as you go through this season. The actions you take are based upon the Lord. So let's find out what that means, and that will shape what we do with the rest of our Bible study. Please turn. So let's find out where that word comes from, the Lord. Turning your Bibles to Exodus chapter 6, and I'm going to read from verses 1 to 8. This is a conversation. Exodus 6, verses 1 to 8. Remember, the focus of Psalm 126 is the Lord. So what does that really mean? Who is that? That's what we're going to look at now. And that's what we're going to look at now. And whenever we have a conversation, that will be the central theme of what we do. So have a look at verse 1. The Bible says the following: the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. Israel is, he's just about to deliver Israel from the bondage of Egypt. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. That's where the word comes from. That's where the name. And that translated is Jehovah. We're coming to that in a moment. And God said in verse 3, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name, Jehovah, I was not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. So Paul, I'm going to stop reading there. So when the Bible says, he said, listen, he was speaking to Moses and he said, I want you to understand who I am. And he said, I am Jehovah. Now, Jehovah directly translated. Let me go to Jehovah directly translated means the following. It means the self-existent or eternal. Jehovah. That's what it means. Now, when the Bible says, I am the Lord, he's saying, I am the self-existent God. Self-existent means there is nothing I am dependent on except myself to be who I am, what I am, and what I promise. That means there is, it's not that the earth has to be a particular way or your circumstances have to line up in a particular way for God to be God. God said, I am the self-existent one. That means if I make you a promise, the only thing I am dependent on to bring my promises to pass is me. Now, that is one of the most encouraging, remarkable things I found out. So what the Lord was saying was, he was saying to Moses that, listen, it doesn't matter how long you guys have been here. I am Jehovah. That means if I promise to deliver you, and I promised Abraham that you would only be here 430 years, I promised him the fulfillment of my promise is not based on anything else except me. That means, ladies and gentlemen, there is no circumstance you are facing that is too hard for the Lord. So let's see. So when the Bible says, I am the self-existent God, and so when he says, I am Jehovah, so you find him, he says that when he came to Abraham, he said, I am the Lord God Almighty. So he is Jehovah El Shaddai. That's his name. That means I am the one of exceeding great strength, but it's based purely on me. That means your circumstances have nothing to do with it. I am the God, your provider, based purely on me. That means irrespective of what situations that you face, I am Jehovah Jireh, I am the Lord God, your provider. But it's based purely on me that if I want something to happen, I'm going to make it happen based upon me. So when God says, you will leave Persia after 70 years, whether the Persians want you to leave or not, he said it was based purely on him. Now, I need someone to begin to hold on to that God. So we're going to have a look at it. This is what God says of himself. Please turn in your Bible to the book of Genesis chapter 18, and we're going to verse 14. And I'm going to read verse 14. The Bible says the following. The Bible says in Genesis 18 verse 14, in response to the laughter of Sarah, God says the following. Is anything too hard for the Lord? He said, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. What the Lord was saying is there's nothing too hard for me. But let's break that word down a little bit. Where the Bible says, is anything too hard? The direct translation is any word too hard or any word that comes from me devoid of power to bring itself to pass. And the answer is no. That means when God makes you a promise, what he's saying is the fulfillment of the promise is not rooted in the earth or the heavens. It's rooted in me. And that changes everything. Luke 1:37 says the same thing, where Mary said, "What you're saying is impossible. I've never been with a man before." And the angel said the same thing. He said, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible. No word, no promise, no prophecy, no declaration shall be impossible with the Lord." That means, ladies and gentlemen, when God has given you a promise, it is anchored on one thing and one thing alone: God. If God made you the promise, then there is nothing in the universe that's going to stop him keeping his word to you. Come with me, please, ladies and gentlemen, as we continue this theme, turning your Bibles to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 5:5, and I'm going to pick up the narrative from verse 8. Get into the King James Version of the Bible. Thank you, Father. Here we go. The Bible says the following: "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Verse 10. "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." Verse 11. So please remember what the Lord is about to say. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Ladies and gentlemen, this is what the Lord is saying. He said, when I say something, my word will not be denied because of who I am. Circumstances irrespective, if I give you a promise, the circumstances will line up with what I said. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to please tonight, as you read this word for the year, I want you to hold on to one fact: God is faithful. I want you to understand where the Bible says, where the Lord turned your seasons and caused you to be like them that dream, your circumstances cannot stand up to him to stop it. And I'm going to give you an example, and I know this is necessary for someone. So let's look at the place where the Lord exerted the greatest amount of strength, and let that be our benchmark. Turning your Bible, please, to Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to read from I'll read from 17, and I will stop at verse 23. Remember, Jehovah means the self-existent one, the covenant-keeping God. That means if God makes you a promise, the fulfillment of that promise is only based on his ability, not on your circumstances. So let's look at the maximum, the one thing that they wanted to stop the most. I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. And the Bible says the following: "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to ask, and this is why I love reading the Bible. The Bible says that when it comes to power, the Lord chooses one example to say, based upon this event, I am powerful, so that they know this is the limit. The Bible says that when God raised Jesus from the dead and reset everything in heaven so that Jesus is Lord of Lords, that he has a name above all names, that he's seated at his right hand, that this is the redemption of mankind in its entirety. I want you to think with me for a moment, and I pray this helps somebody who's going through a dark season. Nobody has been as far from God as Jesus Christ was at Calvary. The reason being, sin will separate you from God. Do we agree? If that's the case, if one man is carrying the sin of the entire human race, nobody has been as far away from God as him. And the Bible says, based upon the word of God, God reached out and raised him from the dead. All of justice was satisfied. The entirety of the kingdom of darkness present. The full weight of the kingdom of spiritual wickedness, everything was focused on one man, and God successfully raised him from the dead, not just brought him back to life, set him at his own right hand, placed him in a position that is unassailable for eternity upon eternity. Set in order, not just him, but set in order the entirety of the human race. That God said, I did it by my power. That means, ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing that has been said concerning you. There is nothing that has been acted upon, covenanted, declared, or spoken over your life that was as dark as that. And yet God came through to Jesus Christ based on a promise. So pause for a moment. And as you go into this year, that God says, I will turn your seasons, and you will be like them that dream. And I won't just leave you there. I will not only put you back, but I will bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight I want you to have a picture of the God who calls himself Jehovah. That God says to you, irrespective of your circumstances, I'm going to do something new. Irrespective of how many times you fail, I'm going to do something new. Irrespective of what the doctors say, I'm going to do something new. Irrespective of age, circumstance, or situation, I am going to do something new. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand tonight, and then please hold on. There is nothing that you are holding on to that God is not going to fulfill as long as it's based on his word. And so, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, I want you to please hold on to the word of God. It's not empty. God and his word are one. He promised you. He said, I am Jehovah. And so tonight, ladies and gentlemen, as you go into this season, that God is the one that turns your seasons. And it is that God that turns things around. We're out of time tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I honestly pray that you have been blessed. But I also pray that you're encouraged. If you're going through a difficult, difficult time, it turns tonight and we declare it over your life. We join our faith with everybody who's believing God for a miracle. And we don't just end like this out of routine or tradition. I join my faith with yours. I step into your desperation and I say, may the Lord be kind to you. May the streams be turned in your favor. May the drought be declared over. And may what you do in this season produce results that only God can take credit for. Ladies and gentlemen, may God bless you. We'll see you next week. Have a wonderful week. God bless you in all ways and in all things. If you're listening by podcast, we're excited that you're here. And we wish you the very best. God bless you, ladies and gentlemen.